Due to Allah, we praise Him, we seek His aid, we seek His help, we seek His forgiveness, we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of our own souls and from the wickedness of our deeds. Whomsoever Allah guides, there is no one to lead them astray, and whomsoever Allah allows to stray, there is no one to guide them to the right. I openly bear witness that there is no deity worthy of worship but Allah, who is alone and without partner. And I openly bear witness that Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his slave, his messenger, and the seal of the prophets. O Allah, exalt Muhammad and the followers of Muhammad as you have exalted Ibrahim and the followers of Ibrahim, for surely you are praised and magnified. O Allah, bless Muhammad and the followers of Muhammad as you have blessed Ibrahim and the followers of Ibrahim, for surely you are praised and magnified. My dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, this is the second in the series of the lectures under the title of Islamic Issues. To repeat the premise behind it, these series of lectures are dealing with the works of other students of knowledge and other scholars about Islam, making their lectures available to those of us here at the site. It's not my purpose to reinvent the wheel. It's simply my purpose to, again, make things available to you to proceed. When the news of the Christian army that had prepared on the horizon to wipe out Islam reached him, Abu Qadama al-Shami, radiallahu anhu, moved quickly to the minbar of the masjid. In a powerful and emotional speech, Abu Qadama ignited the desire of the community to defend their land, jihad for the sake of Allah. As he left the masjid, walking down a dark and secluded alley, a woman stopped him and said, "Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah." Abu Qadama, he stopped, but he did not answer her back. She repeated her greeting, "Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah." But this time she added, "This is not how pious people should act." She stepped forward from the shadows, and she said, "I heard you in the masjid, encouraging the believers to go fight jihad, and all I have is this." So she handed Abu Qadama two long braids of her hair, and she said, "Perhaps this can be used for the reins of a horse, and perhaps Allah may write me as one of those who went for jihad." The next day, as the Muslim village set out to confront the Crusader army, a young boy ran through the gathering and stood at the hooves of Abu Qadama's horse, and he said to Abu Qadama, "I ask you by Allah to allow me to join the army." And some of the elder fighters, they began to laugh at the boy, and they said, "The horses will trample you." But Abu Qadama looked down into his eyes as he asked again. The little boy said, "I ask you by Allah, let me join." Abu Qadama, radiallahu anhu, then said, "On one condition. If you are killed, you will take me with you to Jannah, among those who you will be allowed to intercede for." The little boy smiled at him and said, "I promise." When the two armies met and the fighting intensified, the young boy was riding on the back of Abu Qadama's horse, and he asked Abu Qadama. The little boy said, "I ask you by Allah to give me 3 arrows. Abu Qadama replied, "You lose them." The boy repeated, "I ask you by Allah to give me them." So Abu Qadama gave him the arrows, and the boy took aim. And prior to shooting the arrow, he said, "Bismillah." And the arrow flew out, and it killed one of the Romans. He took the second arrow, again reciting, "Bismillah." And the second arrow flew, killing yet a second Roman. He took the third and final arrow, and again he said, "Bismillah." And the third arrow flew, killing the third Roman. And this time as he was shooting, an arrow then struck the boy in the chest, knocking him off of the horse. Abu Qadama jumped down to his side, and he reminded the boy in his final breaths, "Don't forget the promise." So the little boy reached into his pocket, and he extracted a pouch, and he said, please return this pouch to my mother. And Abu Qadama asked him, who's your mother? And the boy replied, the woman that gave you the braids yesterday. SubhanAllah. Think about this, my dear respected sisters in Islam. How did she reach this level of taqwa, where she would sacrifice her hair, when today other women do the same to die, so long as their son stayed home? Indeed, she spent her life in the obedience of Allah, and when the exam time came, she passed. Not only did she pass herself, but her children, they were beaming with the lights and the beauty of Islam, these children that she had raised herself. My dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, very often, and perhaps in our times, we have forgotten much of the sunnah. The lectures, the khutbahs, and talks are all directed toward the Muslim men. And we forget that from the hadith, guidance and way of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was that he would allocate a specific day of the week to teach the women. Women would come up to him in Hajj, in the street, even in his home, and ask him questions about the deen. At the Eid Salah, after addressing the men, he would take Bilal ibn Rabah, radiallahu anhu, and go to the women's section and address the women. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed an entire surah by the name of Surah An-Nisa, the women, and another by the name of Surah Maryam, and another by the name of Al-Mujadala, the women who plead. It is in enlivening the sunnah that today this talk should be addressed to the believing women, al-mu'minat. Dear sisters, dear mother, dear daughters, everyone is looking for happiness and fun, and I am sure that you are not excluded. Where is that happiness and fun? And where and when do you want that happiness? Do you want happiness? Do you want to have fun in this life at the expense of the hereafter? Or is it in the hereafter when you meet Allah that you want to be happy? Everywhere you go, you shall find a swarm of people and media and culture swearing to you that happiness is the happiness of the dunya. Is it really happiness though? On Yom Kiyamah, on the day of repentance, Allah shall take the most happiest of the kuffar, of the dunya, and dip him into the Jahannam, into the hellfire. Then he shall ask him, have you ever tasted happiness? And the kuffar will say, never. Nay, the happiness is only the happiness of the hereafter, no matter what happens in this dunya. Allah shall bring him the day of repentance, the day of repayment, excuse me, the most tested human, and dip him into the Jannah, into the paradise. He shall then ask this person, have you ever tasted sadness? And that person will say, never. And don't think that this happiness and fun is exclusive to the hereafter. It is very much tied to this life as well. And listen and understand the words of Allah Azza wa Jal, when he says, whoever works righteousness, whether male or female, while he or she is a true believer, verily to him, we will give a good life in this world with respect, contentment, and lawful provision. And we shall pay them certainly a reward in proportion to the best of what they used to do, meaning the Jannah. My dear respected sisters in Islam, you have to understand that you or anyone may enter the hellfire. By Allah, we are not better than Fatima, the daughter of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he said to her, O Fatima, the daughter of Muhammad, ask me whatever you wish for my wealth, for I shall avail you nothing to Allah. Meaning that it doesn't matter if you're my daughter. If you don't work for the Jannah, saying to Allah that my father is so-and-so will not help you in any way. Islam is filled with many mu'minas that completed their taqwa of Allah when the other girls to the posters of the kuffar singers and the kuffar athletes and the kuffar actresses. You should put up posters in your heart of Fatima and Mother Aisha and many of the other mu'minat. Asiya, the wife of Fir'aun, her iman in Allah thrived under the shadow of someone that said, I am your Lord, Most High. When news reached Fir'aun of his wife's iman, he beat her and commanded his guards to beat her. They took her out in the scalding noon heat, tied her hands and feet, and beat her perpetually. During this time of agony and torture, who did she turn to? She turned to Allah Azza wa Jal, and she prayed, My Lord, build for me a home with you in paradise, and save me from Fir'aun and his deeds, and save me from the transgressive people. It is narrated that when she said this, the sky opened for her, and she indeed saw her home in paradise. She smiled. And because of this smiling, the guards were astonished. Imagine being tortured and beaten, and she smiles. Frustrated, Fir'aun commanded a boulder to be dropped, to be brought and dropped on his wife, Asiya, and to crush her to death. But Allah Azza wa Jal, in his infinite mercy, he took her soul before the boulder was brought, and she became indeed an example for all the believing men and the believing women until the end of time. Allah Azza wa Jal says in the Quran, and Allah has set forth an example of those who believe, the wife of Fir'aun, Pharaoh, when she said, My Lord, build for me a home with you in paradise, and save me from Fir'aun and his deeds, and save me from the transgressive, disbelieving people. SubhanAllah. We talk about jihad and shuhada, the martyrs. But do you know who the first Muslim in Islam to be killed in the path of Allah? It was Sumayyah, mashallah, the mother of Amr. When Abu Jahl heard of her Islam and her husband Yasir and their son Amr, he whipped them all and he tortured them. So much so that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would pass by them as they went through their test of their iman, and he would say to them, Be patient, O Jannah. As Abu Jahl, may Allah give him what he deserves, as he beat Sumayyah radiyallahu anha one day, she refused to recant her deen. She refused to denounce her belief in Allah Azza wa Jal. And this enraged Abu Jahl. So as she was laying on top of the burning sand, being tortured, looking up at the sky, he grabbed a spear, and he speared her through her private parts. Because of this woman, Sumayyah, radiyallahu anha, she was the first of her family, and the first of the Ummah of Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to die as a martyr, fizabilillah. My dear respected sisters in Islam, our role models, they come from the Quran, and they come from the authentic hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You may have heard the story of the boy and the king. When the entire village became Muslim by the death of this one young boy, the king ordered that an enormous fire be kindled, and that all of those who would not recant their religion, their belief in Allah Azza wa Jal, be burnt alive. And Mu'mina, a believing woman, stood with her baby over the fire. And she looked at her baby, of her young child. And out of her love for this child, she considered turning back. And the baby said to her, this infant child, What are you waiting for, mother? Go forward, for you are on the truth. And she nodded. Then with her infant child in her hand, she was pushed into the fire to her death. And Allah Azza wa Jalla says in Surah Al-Baqarah, and they ill-treated them for no other reason than that they believed in Allah, exalted in power, worthy of all praise, to Him who belongs the dominion of the heaven and the earth, and Allah is witness to all things. My dear respected sisters in Islam, your role models come to you from today. As Hassan tells us, one of the elder women from the Muslim lands decided that all the vanity that normally happens in the gatherings of the women in their halaqa, that these things were not for her. So she decided to turn to the salah, to the qiyam al-layl, to the night prayers in her old age. And she found herself calling to her son one night from her prayer room. And her son says, I came in, and she was in sajda, saying that she had become paralyzed, she couldn't move. So her son gathered her, and he took her to the doctors, and she began a cycle of rehabilitation. But they became to realize that there was little hope for her. She then ordered her son, she commanded him to take her back to her home, and to take her back to her prayer room, and take her back to that position of sajda. As she prayed to Allah in her sajda, the night came when she said to her son, I leave you in the trust of Allah. And whenever something is left in Allah's trust, it is never lost. And after that, this dear beloved sister, she passed away in her sajda. And her muscles froze in that position. And so as they washed her body, she was in a position of sajda. And when they prayed the janazah prayer over her, she was still in that position of sajda. And when they carried her to the cemetery and placed her body into the ground, she still remained in that position of sajda. Indeed, they buried her as she was in sajda. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that we shall all be resurrected on what we die on. She shall be resurrected on the Day of Judgment in sajda to Allah. As of them, because that is how she lived and how she died. My dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, there are many other stories that we know about powerful believing brothers, wives and sisters, and many, many stories that only Allah Azza wa Jalla knows. Whenever a halaqah is going on, as we can see here at Al-Quran wa Sunnah, you Muslim sisters, brothers, even at the places where I've studied this noble deen of Islam, at the Mahad, in Egypt, wherever, it always seems that in the schools that the sisters outnumber the brothers. Sometimes it is sad to see all these brothers lacking the motivation that many of our beautiful Muslim sisters have. But if there is a beautiful sign in all of this, it is that inshallah, these sisters are going to raise an army of believing men and believing women in the coming generations. Allahu Akbar. When Imam Ahmad, rahimahullah, rahmatullah alayh, was still young, his father died. He would tell his students of the work his mother went through in raising him. And he would pray for her. In the cold Baghdad nights, she would wake long before Fajr to heat water for her son's wudu. Then she would wrap him in blankets, herself cloaked in her jabab, and guide him through the darkness, into the cold alleys, to reach the main masjid long before Salatul Fajr had arrived, so that her son could get a good seat in the classes. Her son Ahmed bin Hanbal, at that age, was around 8 or 9 years old. And he would sit all day long studying the Quran and the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And she would wait for him to finish, so that she could drop him home safely. At the age of 15, she prepared money and food for him and told him, travel for search of knowledge. He left for Mecca and Medina and many other places and met many great scholars. This woman, this widow, she raised her son Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal to be one of the four greatest imams in the history of Al-Islam. my dear respected sisters in Islam, after all this, ask the non-Muslim, what is it that he or she wants from you? Does he want you to be liberated? Liberated from what? From Allah and His Messenger? From the Quran and the Sunnah? From Jannah? From this deen that Allah Azza wa Jalla has chosen for you? And what is he going to give you in return? By Allah, he does not own any happiness to give. Is he going to give you love and protection from punishment in the grave, from fire and from death? And why is it that they only want to liberate the so-called beautiful women? Why don't they want to liberate the elderly sisters? Why don't they want to liberate the poor and the indigenous? Why not liberate the inmates? Why is their target audience young and the physically beautiful, so they are so beautiful, between the ages of 13 and 28? And why is it that their first call that they call you to is to take off your garment of modesty, your hijab? Remember that friend, if you consider this person to be your friend. Consider it carefully, for without a doubt, by Allah, this person will be your most bitter enemy on the day of repentance, on the day of repayment. As Allah Azza wa Jalla says in the Quran, friends on that day will be foes one to another, except the righteous. One woman from amongst the kafirah sums up exactly what they think of women. It is not who you are, it's what you wear and what you look like. And listen to the French model when she says, as she stood on the fashion industry, fashion houses made me into a mannequin, a wooden idol, the mission to manipulate hearts and alter the minds. I learned how to be worthless, nothing on the inside, cold. We lived in a world of filth, in all that filth means. SubhanAllah. When Prophet Muhammad, when he stood on the plain of Arafat and gave his farewell speech, he said to the Ummah, treat the woman kindly. And history records that in Europe, in the same year, at the same time that Islam was saying this, the Christian clergy were arguing whether a woman was a human or an animal, if she even had a soul. And these same clergymen are the forefathers and the ancestors of the Kufar who now claim they want to liberate you. There indeed is much more that can be said, my dear respected sisters in Islam, but I will conclude this with the advice of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to every Muslim mother, daughter, and wife. Where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if the woman prays her five salah, fasts the month of Ramadan, protects herself from committing zina, and listens to her husband, it will be said to her, from any door you wish into the paradise. My dear respected sisters in Islam, that is where you want to be. That is where we will find this happiness that we are looking for. All you who believe, give your response to Allah and His Messenger when He calls you to that which will give you life. And know that Allah cometh between a man and his heart, and that it is He to whom we shall all be gathered. Allah and His Messenger are calling you to life, my dear respected sisters in Islam. Reply to the call. Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Jazakallahu khair. Barakallahu feekum. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.